Hello, everyone. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
And it's our Discovery Unit today. Of course, our Discovery Unit involves programs that are aired on the Discovery Channel.
Right.
If any of you are still watching TV, however, I'm sure their programs are available online as well, or they're streamed, or they're on YouTube or something like that. It seems like more people prefer to watch, videos and things like that on their phones as opposed to on their TVs. Does anybody still get cable TV at home? Does anybody know what that is anymore?
I don't use cable TV anymore. I just use YouTube. Oh, and Netflix, yeah.
Yeah, I actually watch TV still because I do like to just sit back and relax and not stare at my phone. But in any case, to each his own, you can do however you want to. But if you're watching the Discovery Channel, you might run across this program called Sticker Shock. Interesting, Sticker Shock. When I was, of course, reading this article for our program today, I thought, ooh, is this all about the stickers that people send each other online? Is that what it's all about? Yeah. Are they having some kind of X-rated stickers now that you can send each other? Sticker Shock? But no, here the word sticker is talking about the price tag that is usually in the window of a car. I don't think they do that so much here in Taiwan, but I remember going to the car dealers with my father when I was young, and he would
too.
Be looking at cars. There would be a sticker in the window. It'd be a white piece of paper printed out, of course, from a computer printer, and it would list all the features, air conditioning, power windows, five-speed transmission, etc. And then
sun
there would
window,
be a price
sunroof.
At the bottom. Sunroof, yeah, or radial tires or whatever. And, of course, then there would be the price there, and they called that the sticker price. So that's where the word sticker comes from.
Yeah, and we use that phrase sticker shock because the price is so high that your mouth kind of drops open. If you're in shock, you've had some sort of sudden surprise, or maybe it's even an upsetting surprise. That you're in shock. Sometimes if you've gotten some real bad news, you're shocked by it. You can go into shock. Sticker shock, though, is kind of a fun phrase, just meaning, wow, I can't believe how expensive this is. That's crazy. So you're in for a shock on sticker shock. We're going to talk about cars. So if you're into cars, you're going to love the next couple of days. We're going to talk about some real beautiful cars, some beauties, I would say. But first, we're going to read through day one. From hot rods to muscle cars, to the oldest antiques, people in the U.S. love their cars. Car culture is huge there, and has been for decades. Evidence of Americans' love for automobiles has appeared everywhere in pop culture, particularly from the 1950s to the 1980s. During that time, songs such as Charlie Ryan's Hot Rod Lincoln were sung in honor of cars, while films, Herbie the Love Bug, and TV shows, Knight Rider, The Dukes of Hazzard, put them front and center. Even today, TV shows like Graveyard Cars and Inside West Coast Customs are popular with audiences. It should come as no surprise, then, that people all across the country wonder what their cars, whether classic or custom, could be worth. Discovery Channel is now getting in on the game with its show, Sticker Shock. Filmed at car shows around the U.S., Sticker Shock helps car enthusiasts put a price on their cherished vehicles. On the show, professional appraisers inspect vehicles from top to bottom to determine a car's value or sticker price. There are several things appraisers keep an eye out for. For instance, the more a car's owner knows about its background, the better. It's even better if they can provide the car's original documentation. Appraisers are also looking for any modifications made to the vehicle, as changes to the car's original structure can affect its value. In addition to the overall condition of the car, appraisers want to know if it runs or if it's just a showpiece. After examining these factors and others, Appraisers can tell the car's owner if they got their money's worth.
I got an idea. Let's talk about our article now.
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Okay, so our title here is You're In For A Shock on Sticker Shock. So in this title here, we've got the phrase, you're in for something.
Mm-hmm.
If we say that you're in for a shock or you're in for a surprise, that just means this thing is just about to happen to you. It's going to happen to you very soon. Boy, you're in for a big surprise, you know, because people are going to give you a big party to celebrate your retirement for the company or something like that. So there's going to be a big party for you. So here you're in for a shock, which means you're going to be shocked. You're going to be very surprised in just a couple of seconds here, at least if you're participating in this program called Sticker Shock. And I think we dealt with that during our introduction there. Sticker Shock means you're kind of very surprised at the price of a car. So let's see what this is all about here. In the first paragraph, it says, from hot rods to muscle cars to the oldest antiques, people in the U.S. love their cars. Yes, I think that's very much true. We've got a range of different kinds of cars there. We've got hot rods and muscle cars. Hot rods are kind of cars that are modified. You know, it might be a regular kind of car, especially if they're really old. If they're cars that were made like before the 1960s or something like that, people take those cars and they modify them. And maybe they increase the power of the engine. Maybe they put on new fenders or something like that. That's kind of what a hot rod is. But a muscle car is usually a car that has a big engine when it comes out of the factory. It's already a really strong car, like the Ford Mustang, for example.
My dad had one.
Or maybe a Ferrari might be considered a muscle car because it has a really strong engine with lots and lots of horsepower. So, yeah, you might have hot rods or muscle cars. And you also might have antiques, cars that are really old, going back to, say, old Studebakers or Edsels or Packards or whatever.
Model T Ford.
There you go, going way, way back. And some of those cars are collectibles, and people pay top dollar for those kinds of cars, especially if they're in good condition.
Or a friend of mine, her father restores old antiques. So he works on the engine and also the body of the car. We call it the body work when you work on a car's, you know, outside of the car, not just the engine. So that sounds pretty fun. I actually owned a hot rod when I was a freshman in college.
Really?
It was a really old car, a Chevy Corvette that the back had been hiked up. It was high in the back. What do you call it? It was kind of
a low rider?
Low rider car, yeah.
Okay.
My mom was horrified when she saw it, but I got it for $500 US.
Wow.
So I didn't care. I had a car in college, but it definitely was a hot rod. So an antique is anything. Now, if you're going to look at the definition, it's usually anything over 100 years. But, you know, sometimes it doesn't have to be quite 100 years to be considered an antique. Something that's old and valuable. I love to go antique shopping. Antiques come in all forms. They don't have to be cars. They can be furniture. They can be things like sewing machines. I have an antique sewing machine from my great-grandmother that was passed down that doesn't work with electricity. It works with a pedal.
Oh, yeah. I think my mother has one of those that she got from her mother.
See?
I think it's in their attic or something like that. But in any case, those are some examples of antiques, and cars can be antiques as well.
Yeah.
I don't really see a lot of old cars here in Taiwan.
Mm-mm.
Maybe because of the humidity and the rain, they just don't last that long. But in the USA, especially if you're in California or Arizona or Texas, where the weather is relatively dry and warm, cars can last a long time there.
Yeah.
I grew up in the north there, Minnesota, Iowa, places like that. And our cars don't last long there either because of the winters.
Snow.
They put salt and salt on the roads during the winter.
Yeah, and the salt on the road to help melt the snow actually eats metal.
Right. It rusts the cars. And so if you go down, like the first time I went to Arizona, I was like, wow, there are so many old cars here, old Volkswagens and Ford Mustangs and Ford Thunderbirds. Boy, you name it. People were driving them down there. So in the USA, especially in California, car culture is huge. People love their cars. They like to go out and cruise the loop, you know, as we say. And it has been a car culture for decades, for many, many years. And evidence of Americans' love for automobiles has appeared everywhere in pop culture, particularly from the 1950s to the 1980s. So, yes, cars feature in popular culture or pop culture. I'm thinking of that movie Rebel Without a Cause or something with Jimmy Dean.
James Dean,
I think he was in like a drag race, you know, where they're in cars there. Mm-hmm. And the guy he was racing against died, I think. And his friends got mad at him or something like that.
He was a cute actor, James Dean.
Indeed. So, yes, cars are definitely part of American culture.
Yeah, they're even, I have to say, I've lived in New York City and California. California, everybody wants to show off their car. In New York City, no one cares. It's more like Taipei. New York City, you get, you know, cars will run into you and hit you and dent your fenders. And, you know, you just don't want to have a nice car in New York City. But in California, you have to drive so far. Everybody wants a really fancy car. So, well, during this time, the 1950s to the 1980s, which was a long time ago, songs were sung in honor of cars. If you do something in honor of something, it just means you're paying tribute to that thing. You're trying to show that you respect it, that you think a lot of it. And some people really do love their cars. I don't really care about cars so much.
They're just transportation for me.
Yeah, I do like Jaguars and a Porsche. I'd like a Porsche. But if I had money, I don't think I could spend that much on a car.
Actually, my favorite car myself is the Subaru Estrato minivan, but unfortunately, they stopped production on those a long time ago.
You want a minivan?
Yeah, I think they're so cool. I think they're so cute. I'd like to have one, but they stopped production on them. I think it's because they use carburetors and not fuel injection. I think that's the reason, but that's another topic here. But again, in American culture, movies and films like The Love Bug or Herbie the Love Bug, which was, I think, Dean Jones was in that.
I loved Dean Jones. I was just a little girl when those movies came out. He was so cute. Yeah, Herbie the Love Bug was actually a Volkswagen bug, which was kind of a fun car for quite a while. And we had TV shows, Knight Rider. It was a really fancy muscle car.
Yep.
That show also had a very nice looking actor. I can't remember his name. He later went on to star in that beach TV drama where he
Baywatch, was Baywatch.
Yeah, Baywatch. Yeah. Anyway, this is a while ago. The Dukes of Hazzard. They had what was similar to my car when I was a freshman in college. It was a hot rod.
Was it a Camaro or a Trans Am or something?
No. It was more like a Chevy. Look it up real fast so you can see if you can get the name.
Yeah, it's like a red car with a white stripe on it or something.
Really
like
cool,
that.
But it had a very loud engine.
I think that show, theme song was sung by Waylon Jennings,
really?
The good old boys, I think. But yes, you can tell that car culture is very strong in the United States. And we're talking about some films or movies here that put cars front and center. If you put something front and center, that means you emphasize that thing, you focus on that thing. So yes, The Love Bug was about this Volkswagen that was like a person with a personality.
Yeah.
Knight Rider, I think that was a special kind of car.
Yeah, a voice would come out of it. Yeah,
exactly.
Remember?
Is that the one that had the little red lights
yes.
going back and forth?
Yes.
And of course, the Dukes of Hazzard, they couldn't have that show without their famous car.
It was a Dodge Charger.
Huh?
Actually,
good.
The company Dodge doesn't exist anymore, I don't think.
Yeah, it used to be part of Chrysler.
But they made a lot of cars and trucks, Dodge. So we're going to continue on. Moving on to the second paragraph. But first, we're going to take a quick break.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 今明两天我们要介绍的是 Discovery 的节目，叫做 Sticker Shock， 也就是老车估价好惊奇。首先来看到在第一段的第二个句子提到 Car culture is huge there and has been for decades. 这里的 there 指的就是在美国。其实呢，美国那里的汽车文化是非常的盛行。后面讲到 has been for decades.而且已经呢盛行了数十年之久，所以在这里使用的是完成式。在这一段的最后一句提到 During that time, songs such as Charlie Ryan's Hot Rod Lincoln were sung in honor of cars, while films Herbie the Love Bug and TV shows Knight Rider, The Dukes of Hazzard put them front and center.在这里的 during that time 指的就是前一句的提到从1950年代到1980年代的那段时间呢，像是这个 Charlie Ryan 的这首歌就是为了向汽车致敬而唱的。我们来看一下 in honor of， in honor of 有向谁表达敬意的意思。举例来说，古希腊人为了表示对诸神的敬意而修建了许多的庙宇。你就可以写 Ancient Greeks built many temples in honor of their gods。而这首歌之外呢，还有 films， 像是万能金龟车跟电视剧呢，它则是聚焦在汽车的身上。我们讲到 front and center， 在前面又在中心，当然指的就是非常重要的意思。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.We're back. We're talking about cars. I think I misstated something. I think Dodge is still around in the U.S. I don't hear about cars so much anymore. If you live in the United States, you have car commercials on TV constantly. That's all you see. And I don't see as many advertisements for cars here besides Benz and BMW.
Yeah, of course, car culture is very strong here in Taiwan, but y'all go about it differently here. I think cars here are mostly for people to show off their wealth, whereas in the U.S. that's true, but there are other things that people want to show off in the U.S.
as
well. But in any case here, let's talk some more about these cars, and especially these TV shows. Even today, TV shows like Graveyard Cars and Inside West Coast Customs are popular with audiences. I haven't heard of these programs myself, but they're about cars. And it should come as no surprise, or it shouldn't be surprising then, that people all across the country, the United States, wonder what their cars, whether classic or custom, could be worth, especially if you own a pretty special car.
Yeah.
You might be wondering, hey, if I wanted to sell this, how much could I get for it? How much money could someone pay for this? And Discovery Channel is now getting in on the game with its show, Sticker Shock. So here to get in on something means you are also wanting a part of this pie. You want your piece of the pie. You want to join the competition. So yes, indeed, there are these programs. And Discovery Channel says, hey, we'd like to have our own channel. So they're getting in on the game of these car shows. And their show is called Sticker Shock.
Another similar phrase to getting in on the game would be joining the bandwagon or jumping on the bandwagon. Seems like there's a big trend. Everybody's starting to do it. You want to get involved, too. You don't want to be left behind. So you want to be cool, too, so you get in on the game or you jump on the bandwagon and do what other people are doing. Well, this particular show sounds sort of like an antique roadshow where people bring in old objects to experts on antiques and they tell them how much that antique is worth. Kind of similar, except these are cars. So they go to these car shows that happen around the U.S. And Sticker Shock, the show, helps car enthusiasts or fans put a price on their cherished vehicles. So, yeah, these guys have probably restored their cars. They think they've taken really good care of their cars, and they want to actually show them off at these car shows and see what their value is, you know, from experts who have a lot of experience and, you know, background in cars. Again, if you're an enthusiast, you're just a fan of something. And if you put a price on, it just means they look at your car and they kind of give you what they think the value might be if you wanted to sell it.
Yes, so I could say, for example, I'm a cycling enthusiast, which means I really like cycling. It's really something I enjoy.
Yeah.
And these are your Aicha, Nita Aicha. So you need a cherished vehicle, yeah. Your cherished car. And on the show, professional appraisers inspect vehicles from top to bottom to determine a car's value or sticker price. As we explained earlier, professional means these are people who have experience or training, and they know what they're doing. An appraiser is somebody, of course, who specializes in determining the value of something. You might have an appraiser come over to your house and tell you how much it is worth. Mm-hmm. And they inspect these vehicles from top to bottom. They look under the hood, in the trunk, in the seats. They look at everything from top to bottom. They just inspect the heck out of these cars in order to determine or to try to guess or estimate the value of the car or the sticker price, as, again, we talked about earlier.
Uh-huh. So determine just means to figure that out. There are several things appraisers keep an eye out for. If you keep an eye out for something, it means you're doing other things at the same time, but you're aware of what you're looking at because you're trying not to miss something to keep an eye out for. When my mom would go shopping, she'd have me babysit my younger brothers and sisters, and she'd say, Steph, while you're doing your chores, doing the housework, keep an eye out for the younger kids so they don't get in trouble. Keep an eye out for. I've heard people say keep eyes out for something. No, it's just keep an eye out for something singular. And you don't grab someone's eye, or something doesn't grab your eyes or your eyeballs. Something grabs your eye, catches your attention. Be careful with these idioms. Don't say them incorrectly because they become funny. For instance, here's what our writer says. The more a car's owner knows about its background, the better. If you know who the original owner was, how they took care of the car, it actually increases the value of that car.
Yes, it's even better if they can provide the car's original documentation. Of course, the documents that came with the car when they bought it, that would be really great documentation. You might need some documents, for example, if you immigrate to another country, your passport would be an example of documentation.
Or original paperwork. You
indeed,
could use
that. And appraisers are also looking for any modifications made to the vehicle. These are changes. Maybe they did some changes to the engine to make it stronger, or they did some rust work on the body, etc., as changes to the car's original structure can affect its value. If the car has been rusted before, if it rusted before and has been fixed from that, that makes the car less valuable. And in addition to the overall condition of the car, or in addition also considering the overall condition of the car, appraisers want to know if it runs or not, or if it's just a showpiece. Mm. Overall just means the general condition of the car. They're looking at everything, but they still want to know, hey, if I get in the car and put the key in the ignition, will it start? And can I drive my daughter to school in it?
Right. Does it really run, or do you just stand back and look at how beautiful it is? A showpiece is something, it could be an item of work that is usually on exhibit for people or on display for people to look at it. Doesn't necessarily function, doesn't necessarily run. So after examining these factors and others, appraisers can tell the car's owner if they got their money's worth. They probably want to know if they paid too much for the car, or maybe if they sell it in the future, if they could actually make a profit by selling it again. So it sounds like a fun show, especially for car enthusiasts. Right now, we're going to listen one more time to our Chinese teacher.
到了今天，跟汽车相关的节目还是非常的受到欢迎。第二段的第二个句子提到 It should come as no surprise then that people all across the country wonder what their cars, whether classic or custom, could be worth. 在这里的 come as no surprise 应该是不会令人惊讶吧，也就是呢，在全美国上下的人都想知道他们的汽车，不管是经典款 classic 或者是定制款 custom， 在这里的 custom 当作形容词，有定做的意思，大家都想要知道自己的车子呢到底能价值多少。在这里的 worth 当作形容词，解释成为有怎么样的价值。我们最常看到的就是这本小说值得一读，我们要说 the novel is worth reading。 要注意哦，它后面要加的是一个名词，碰到动词的时候就要用 ving 的形式来呈现。后面提到了这个节目，节目在哪边拍摄呢？Filmed at car shows around the U.S., Sticker Shock helps car enthusiasts put a price on their cherished vehicles. Filmed 在这里 VPP 表被动，这个节目呢是在美国各地的车展当中拍摄，它可以帮助这些汽车的爱好者为他们的爱车定个价钱。Enthusiast 当作名词就是有热心者或者是热衷分子，像是热衷于政治的人，我们就可以说 an enthusiast about politics。 下一段第一句提到 On the show, professional appraisers inspect vehicles from top to bottom to determine a car's value or sticker price。在这里的 appraiser 指的就是鉴定者，这些专业的鉴定人呢，会从头到脚的呢，来检视你的车辆，再来 determine 决定这个车子的价值，或者我们称之为标价 sticker price。那么哪些是决定性的因素呢？后面有提到 For instance, the more a car's owner knows about its background, the better。The more 再加上 the better， 大家要注意到这是一个越怎么样就越怎么样的句型吗？所以一个车主呢，能够越了解自己汽车的背景，那么当然价钱就会越好咯。除此之外，后面还提到 Appraisers are also looking for any modifications made to the vehicle.As changes to the car's original structure can affect its value. 鉴定的人还要寻找的就是 modification, 有任何对于车辆所做的改装，因为你改变车子原始的架构 original structure, 有可能也会影响到它的价值。最后 in addition to the overall condition of the car, appraisers want to know if it runs or if it's just a showpiece. Overall 指的是全部的、全面的，譬如说 the overall situation is worsening, 指的就是整体的形势在日益恶化中。所以除了这个车体的整体形势之外呢，鉴定者也想知道这个车还能不能跑，或者它只是一个 showpiece, 在这里的 showpiece 指的就是展示品的意思。 OK, 以上就是今天的课文讲解，谢谢收听。
Okay, that's all for today, but please join us again next time because then we're going to continue talking about sticker shock. If you're into cars, hey, that's the program for you. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.